let's do our declaration today, and then I have a few things that I want to share. All right, my eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. Lord Jesus, be with us today. Lord, and as each of us have only experienced the tip of the iceberg when it comes to your power, your goodness, your love for us. Lord, I'm excited for what you want to do with us the rest of this day. Lord, this service is yours. Lord, all this time is yours. Lord, the plan and the process and the schedule and all of that is out the window. This is your time. Lord, would you speak to us? Would you use me as a willing vessel to speak your truth and your life to your people today? Lord, let the hurt be healed. Let the lost be saved. Lord, and those of us who are here that are yours, would you fill us with more of you? So much that we can't contain it. So much that we are like David in Psalm 23. Our cup is running over, y'all. That's what we want. We ask all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read this again later on down the road, but let me just give you a little bit of a picture of what we're talking about today. This came to me this morning, so I had to. It is found in the Passion Version, Passion Translation, Acts chapter 2. It says, on the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Are we all in one place? Buckle up. Suddenly, they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of this wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit, and they were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned. That's awesome. So check this out. It gets better. A couple things. In verse 3, that pillar of fire, yeah, that's the same pillar of fire that led the Israelites through the wilderness. That pillar of fire, yeah. So check this out. In verse 2, there's a Greek word here. It's called pleroo, P-L-E-R-O-O. It means filled inwardly. In verse 4, that word there, filled, is then pletho. P-L-E-T-H-O, and it means filled outwardly. They were filled inwardly, and then they were filled outwardly. Chris, what does that mean, man? Furnished and equipped. Furnished and equipped. Not only were you filled with the Holy Spirit for your redemption, for your salvation, for your transformation to be closer to the image of Jesus, which is what he wants us to be, but you were equipped to go do the work. Isn't that awesome? I read that this morning, so I was like, oh, I've got to share that. That's so good. So hopefully you enjoyed that. We'll touch on Acts 2 again in the sermon here, but I just had to share that. So that's what we were talking about today, the day of Pentecost, the day when the believers were filled and equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, so one of the questions that I want to answer for you today, if we answer nothing else, it's this question. How can we love like Jesus? How can we love like Jesus? Now, some of us are going to be like, it's going to be a little bit harder for me with some folks. I get it. I understand. We all have those things in our life that seem like they're insurmountable, like we're not going to get past it. How can I make this right? I don't know what to do. I've tried everything I know of. I'm here to tell you that Jesus will make a way. Jesus will show you how to love like he did. All right? I like this quote from Mother Teresa. She says, prayer in action is love. Love in action is service. Prayer in action is love. But love in action is service. And I can't get away from this scripture. I don't have these up there, by the way. So you just kind of go with me and let me know. We have our notes online if you need all these points here. So don't worry about that. But it led me immediately to think of the fact that Jesus said in Mark 10:45, he said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So if it wasn't enough to give his life, he also served us. He also came to show us a better way. Because up to that time, it probably looked like a lot of our churches, a lot of our gatherings, where you're shaking a finger and telling somebody they ought not to do that. The Bible says. You sound a little bit more holy if you say the Bible says, or thus saith the Lord, right? But we've heard that. Guys, and here's what broke my heart about this as I was thinking about this. When you tell people that, and you run them off from the church, you run them off from the body, community, you're setting them up for what Amber was talking about, now that you're all alone. Let me tell you about all the things that you did. Right? What's easier, to run somebody off or to love them sacrificially even when you don't want to? Did Jesus say it was going to be easy? Did he say you're going to have no problems whatsoever? It's going to be awesome. They're going to love you. I don't think he said any of those things. He reminded us time and time again, because you're called by my name, because you're imprinted with my spirit, because you look and sound and smell and act a whole lot like me when you start following me, they're going to crucify you just like they crucified me. But guess what? Love them anyway. Would you love my people anyway? Would you take care of them anyway? Would you forgive them when it's hard? Would you say sorry when you didn't do anything wrong? This is all free. Just so you know. All right, let's get back to the message. Here's a thought that came to me as I was thinking about this. We won't be remembered for the things that we teach. You guys aren't going to make a plaque for Pastor Chris and said, "Chris said." We're going to be remembered for how we treat each other. Man, Debbie is so good at encouraging words. Kathleen, goodness, there is nobody that prays like me for me like she does. Those are the things we're going to be remembered for. Not, all right, this one time Chris and John got together on a sermon and man, they just killed it, right? No one says that. Do they say that? No. Hey, you preached last week. That's usually about how it goes. You had a sermon, right? Well, that verse. No one says that. Not to say that teaching the word, preaching the word, guiding people, discipling others isn't important. But man, people know what your motivation is. They know how you care, or if you don't. They know that if you're just trying to check the box, get the job done, and all right, that's another Sunday off the list. Let's move on, right? They know. So I want everything that I do. I'm sure John could say this. I'm sure other pastors and pulpits around the world could say this. I want everything I do to be pointing to Jesus. Where the image and name of the man is no longer remembered, is no longer thought of. But when you were here, when you were at Hope Church, when you were around Pastor Chris, you loved Jesus more. You saw Jesus. You felt his presence. You felt his love for you. Isn't that what we want? Is that what you want for you? Is that what you want for you? Yes? So check this out. In Romans 12, we're not going to read it just yet. More teasers, but here's what we have. Romans 12, verse 9, and the heading did it for me. This was probably 3 weeks ago now, but I was preparing the message. Well, I guess a couple more weeks ago, but I was preparing the message for a couple Sundays back, living sacrifice. And then the immediate next section was love in action. So today we're talking about love in action. And the New Living Translation for verse 9 starts off with, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Pretend to love others? It was immediately what I thought of. Wait, they know. Like, they know if you're pretending to love them, right? And I don't think this was just a sarcastic little quip that Paul had to throw in there, like, all right, don't pretend to love others. I think he actually saw it. I think he actually saw people being fake and like, oh, that's gross. I don't like that. Stop doing that. That's ugly. Because immediately when he follows that, he says something that seems out of place. The word there says, in my Bible, I'm reading the NIV, I think all of the other scriptures, it says, hate what is evil, but cling to what is good. Well, that's kind of an odd place to put that. But if you look at it wrapped in that context, and your love must be sincere, if you're lying and not really loving people, you're not hating what is evil, are you? You're holding on to it, being two-faced. And I don't think there's anyone on the planet that's like, I like that. I don't think anybody says that at all. They're like, oh, I don't want to be over there. They're fake. I want to be around people that are real. And at least if you don't like me, just tell me you don't like me. Don't fake it, right? I think people crave honesty. I was reading some statistics that folks my age and younger, so I'm 35, and everyone younger than me doesn't care about religion, doesn't care about the organized church, doesn't care about, you know, what the word says about gathering together and what it says about these things. And they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater because someone hurt them, and so it's blinded them to all their forms of truth, even if it's right. Because someone said, stop that. That's not how you're supposed to act. Rather than showing them a better way. Did you know that our actions speak louder than our words? So instead of beating them up with your Bible, these things hurt, by the way. Have you been clobbered with one? I have. But instead of beating them up with your Bible, love them with your actions. Show them the better way. Right? That's faster. You get immediate results whacking somebody. They stop immediately, but they won't come back. It takes a little longer to show them the better way. Sometimes they're hard-headed. Remember, we've been talking about us being sheep. Sheep don't listen too well. So when they have that little hook and they kind of pull them this way, they don't beat them with the hook. They just nudge them back over in the direction they ought to go. It takes time. The other thing that I can't get out of my mind as I think about that, and I don't have the scripture on here today, but I think we talked about it a couple Sundays ago, was my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. It takes time. And if you're like, well, I sort of only hear a word, praise God that you hear a word. Ask for more. Be faithful with the one word you got, right? It's a little harder being faithful with a paragraph, but man, I got a word. I could be faithful to a word. Amen? Rejoice in that. All right. I think that's enough freebies for now. All right. John 15, 12 through 13. Jesus says, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And it gets better. Passion Translation says it this way. Love each other deeply as much as I have loved you. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. We're talking about living sacrifices. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. That puts a whole new ring to it. Because when you read it the first time, you're like, lay down one's life. I kind of always looked at that as, okay, I have to die like Jesus. But that's not what he's saying. When you look at it this way, it's like, oh my goodness, do I sacrifice all for everybody? So I was thinking about this, and I think I have some thoughts on it in a second, but I was asking Christy, I just remember talking about it to her. I said, man, I can't get away from this statement. I don't know why it's just popping off the page there so much, but love each other the same way I loved you. And I'm thinking, I'm going through what we've seen in The Chosen. I'm going through what I've seen in the scriptures. I'm like, how did Jesus love them? Gave everything. His time, his attention, his life. I mean, everything. Nothing was off limits. I love you so much. You have access to it all. Wow. Now, some of you are thinking in your mind, boundaries, Chris, boundaries. Like, we can't give all to everybody all the time. Like, we're not Jesus. You're right. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he's going to tell you who you ought to give to and when you ought to give and how much you ought to give. All you have to do is be willing to give, willing to be poured out. Are you with me on that? Does that make sense? Here's some thoughts that I had. So how did Jesus show his love to them? So he taught them and walked with them daily. Here's the part that got me. Even on their bad days, they were just like us. Come on. So Peter was that potty mouth fisherman. Matthew was the tax collector. Like, can you imagine trying to censor Peter the entire time? A little girl walked up to him and said, weren't you with them? And he cussed when she said, no, I wasn't, you know, right? Come on. It's there. It's in the word. Then you have Simon the Zealot. I don't know if you guys know this guy too much. We don't really look at him too much, but he's basically a trained assassin for Israel to kill the Romans or anybody else who disagrees with the way they believe. Trained assassin. This is who Jesus was hanging out with, in case you didn't know. Then I have a couple more for you. Check these guys out. The two most prejudiced, which was learned behavior, by the way, guys of the group, the sons of thunder. Lord, do you want us to call down fire on them? This is who Jesus is with. He said, no, stop it. No, sit down. You know, right? Can you imagine? It's like you're rolling around with a bunch of kids. No. Where did that come from? Call down fire on them. Jeez. And so then I had to think about another story. So Christy was like, well, Chris, there's more stories of God's love. I said, yeah, okay. So here's one. I'm going to summarize the first part of it. So there are two sons, and Jesus spoke often in parables. It was to confound the wise. Like, you think you're smart? Check this out. They're like, what did it mean? They didn't know. So, right? He's explaining it to them, and it all kind of just illuminated for them after Jesus went to heaven and they had the Holy Spirit regenerate their minds. All that said to say, here we are today. We get the story in Luke 15, 17 through 24. I'm going to give you the first part of it. There's two sons, and this father, he's got an inheritance. And as they knew, the oldest got the inheritance, right? So that's kind of the way that it worked in the culture of the day. And so one of the sons said, well, I want my share now. Give me my share, and I'm going to go do what I want to do. I'm done with this, is more or less, I'm paraphrasing. And he runs off, and they said, riotous living. And I always thought, riotous living, gosh, for a title like that, who knows, right? So he went off with riotous living, just buck wild, crazy, all kinds of things. Spent every penny he had. And then he found himself, can't buy food. I don't have a house. I don't have a vehicle. Let's modernize this. I have no vehicle. Mom and dad's not washing my laundry anymore. Oh no. And then this thought hit him. Why am I sitting here in the dumps under the cardboard down over at Tent City eating the slop that comes out of the river, which you don't want to touch that. And my father has all these things. I'll return to him. I'll be a servant, I'll at least be taken care of, and that'll be good enough. So he came back in verse 18, verse 20. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. How did his dad see him coming? He was waiting, he was watching. Didn't tell us how long he was gone, but he was gone for a while. But while he was still a long way off, dad knew it was him. So he was filled with love and compassion. And he ran to his son and he embraced him and he kissed him. Now, this doesn't really go into the way that it would probably be done. But let me just color this for you a little bit as a dad. If I saw Eli a long way off It's not a hug or one kiss. I'm hugging him like for a long time. I'm kissing him all over. I'm looking at all his scrapes and bruises and like, you're back. Let's fix you up, man. Let's take care of you. I'm serving him. See that? And then his son said to his dad, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. We say this to Jesus, by the way. But listen to what the father said. Hey, everybody, bring out the finest robe in the house. I want to put it on him. Oh, yeah, and get a ring, a really nice one. Let's put it on his fingers. And get the best sandals to cover his feet. And kill the calf that we've been fattening up. That's what it says here. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. And then here's how the verse ends. So the party began. And that's the way that Jesus thinks about you. You say, and rightfully so, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy. But our worth is no longer found in what we did. When we look on the face of Jesus, our worth is found in him. And he says, hey, everybody, guess who's back? Let's deck him out. Let's make him look real good, right? We're going to a party. Are you ready? So it's this that we see that Jesus lived his life as a blueprint for us, a picture, a plan. How can we be like Jesus and do what he did? I read Acts chapter 2 a minute ago about how they were waiting in the upper room. He said, go, but wait. So go and make disciples of all the nations. Go and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Go and teach them all of I commanded you. But wait, I've got something for you. Before you go, I'm going to equip you. I love that. So in order to do what Jesus did, we have to have what Jesus had, what he promised and poured out at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. Did you know Holy Spirit's a person? Yeah. Did you know that he's here? Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. On that day, Jesus sent the one who could not only transform us into the new creation he spoke of, but also the one who would equip us with the power to truly serve one another. We can't operate the gifts that we've been learning about apart from him. We can't even love each other without his help. I'm terrible at it. I mess it up often, and he has to fix my mistakes all the time and show me a better way. Don't say it like this. Say it like that. Actually, don't even say it at all. Do this, right? He instructs me. So now, let's read Romans 12, 9 through 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. He knows it's hard. Keep that fervor. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Did you know that we're supposed to share in each other's joys and sufferings? We usually only focus on the former. Verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. He's saying a lot of this because they only wanted to hang out with the cool ones. They wanted to use that power that they were given and say, hey, check me out. Check out my bandwagon, right? All the people who think I'm awesome. It's not what the power's for. Hang out with those people who can't add anything to you. Verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And I love this one. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everybody. Can you do that? Peace should be doable. I think we can do this. Holy Spirit, help us. Verse 19, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Come on. If you're doing that, you're like me. I've been there. I'm sorry, Lord. Just tell them right now, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me for the times that I wanted to take vengeance. Not yours. Drop it. Put it down. Instead, do this. Your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. What? Burning coals? Well, that sounds fun. No, that's not what it's talking about. The Lord will take care of telling him, you messed up. Make it right. How dare any of us wag that finger in holy authority or whatever we want to call it and say, shame on you. Remove that word from your vocabulary. You don't get to say it anymore. As a Christian, you do not get to say that. How dare you place shame on someone who's called by God and filled with this Holy Spirit? No more shame. God will take care of that. He does it in the way that he knows how. He makes them feel the way that they need to, and he makes it right. He's your defender. Do you believe that he fights for you? Do you believe that he'll make a way where there seems to be no way? The word tells us he will. So remove those words out of that vocabulary, all right? It is for your good. And then verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How do we do that? We love. Love sincerely. All right? 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. That's those loud things over there. With music, it sounds good. By itself, it sounds terrible, is what he's saying. Number 2, or verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship so that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. You look cool, but you have nothing. So what's more important, right? Going to heaven and being told, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master, right? But listen, he even reminds them these things will all pass away further down in 1 Corinthians 13. What things? Tongues and prophecy. We get these things out of order. We teach that they're gone now. They're not gone now. They're here now. The issue is that we've used them for ourselves rather than for the furthering and glorification of his name and his kingdom. So when he comes in the clouds and calls us to meet up him up there with him, well, you don't need prophecy because the one who is giving the prophecies right there with you. That's what it's talking about. What he's asking us to do now is operate them in love. I remember our study, something that came to mind. I'll have you look at it again, but check out Galatians 5, 22 and 23. If you look at it on Bible.com, you can see the Passion Translation. But you see what he's talking about there. He says, what's the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love. And these are all the expressions of it. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. Right? Those are the expressions of the love of the Holy Spirit in you as you apply it. You can do all those other things. Make sense? So check that out. Here's what I want us to say about others, and I'm closing. Philippians 1, 3 through 6. This is what you should say to someone. You know what? I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out onto completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Learn that verse. Wrap that up in a couple phrases or a couple sentences that you can memorize. And when you get upset with somebody, you know what? Thank God for you. Thank God that he's going to complete that work, right? He's not done with Robert yet. I'm just glad that he's going to complete that work, right? That'll give you both a joke and a good thing to tell you, right? Man, I thank God that he's not done with Chris yet. I pray for you, and I'm happy to pray for you. Can we do that? So in closing, I have a couple of questions to ask you, and I want to call us up for some ministry time so that we can really put it to practice. How can you serve someone today? How can you serve someone today? Here's some questions for you, things to think about as you come up. Are you called to prophesy? What does that mean, Chris? We had a lot of it going on this morning in the form of edification, building up of the body. Can you build up and encourage the body? Well, it sounds like you might be called to something. It doesn't make you a prophet. It's okay. Don't get weird. But can you build up the body? Can you speak life where everyone else is speaking shame and hurt and death? Are you called to lay hands for healing? Were your hands burning? Was your heart burning with love and compassion on the people that need healing in this place? Healing in the workplace that you're in? If the answer is yes, start applying. Lay hands for healing. And I got one better for you. Maybe you don't know. Have you asked Jesus to reveal his glory and his gifts in you? Jesus, you deposited part of yourself in me as part of this body. Where do I fit? What should I be doing? And if he's shown you, are you walking with it? So as we come up today, I'd like you to really spend some time asking God those questions. And if you want us to pray with you, I'll have some of our prayer team come up and we'll be ready and willing to pray for you. And then last but not least, I have to deal with a group of people that may be either listening to this online after the fact or here now. And you don't really know what we're talking about. It's not real for you. It's not alive for you yet. But you're curious. You're wondering. Listen to what Peter said in Acts 2, 38 and 39. All of this, I'm going to summarize the first part. All of this can be yours. All you have to do is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. All who are far off. Yeah, that means that Father God is waiting for you. He's watching for you, ready for you to return home, ready to clothe you with that garment, ready to fit you with the ring and give you that authority and that position that you gave up. Will you answer his call today? For those online, if you say yes, I'm just going to ask everybody in the room and online to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I have sinned against heaven and you. Please forgive me. Wash me clean. Fill my heart with more of you. Equip me with the power of the Holy Spirit as I submit to your will and your way. Show me your plan for my life. What I'm supposed to do for you. And let me say yes and amen all my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we celebrate those who are accepting him for the first time? We're speaking into the future because there are those that are going to pray that prayer. Amen. All right. Now, for the rest of us in the room, I'm going to move this out of the way, but if you want to sit on or kneel in front of the altars or the steps, please do. Like I said, we're going to have a few of us up here to pray for you. We have some specific healings that still need to be prayed for that we were shown this morning. So if you need healing in your body, please come up and we have words for you. But for the others, come worship, speak to the Lord, ask him how he wants to use you to serve his body, and then you are dismissed. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then please come up. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. I thank you for your spirit that rained down on us at Pentecost. I thank you for your power that still goes forth today, equipping your people for the works of ministry, and most importantly, showing us the way to love. Lord, I ask that you bless this people and in the way that you're speaking to them and equipping them as they come up forward. And Lord, as they go to their homes, let them be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.